Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Good morning, everybody. Today we're hosting Aza Altingarel from Exponential Zaifan Partners from Mongolia. Aza, thank you so much for joining today's webinar and today's podcast. We're really honored to have you on our podcast. So let's begin with you talking about your background. Tell us more about your journey so far, perhaps the insights that you gained so far.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me at your podcast, DS, and everyone at Big Sky Capital. It's an honor. And, you know, the last weekend, I had a chance to visit my the city I was born in, Almaty, and had a chance to meet with Dajan and Aleem and others who are the very important stakeholders at the ecosystem. And I was really moved by what they're doing and really wanted to be part of it, and also open the door to Mongolia and other regional countries. So happy to be here.
Thank you so much, Aza. So I was able to go through your LinkedIn and I saw that you previously worked in Denver. So yes. Could you please tell us more about why you decided to travel to the States and live there for almost 10 years?
Yeah, so a little bit about my background. I have degrees in finance and banking, and got my bachelor's locally here in Ulaanbaatar at the University of Finance and Economics, and worked for one of the systematic commercial banks in town for about a year and a half. Then decided to, you know, go and get my master's somewhere else. And so I did some research, and, you know, the master's program, especially MBAs in the States, are the top. So I decided to go to get my master's. And after I got my degree, I had a chance to work at the first North American Mongolia Business Council at the Alexandria office in Virginia, and then got another job offer in Denver, Colorado. So I did some research, and Denver is very similarly situated, like Almaty or like Ulaanbaatar. And so I got the offer, moved there, and lived there for about 7 years. Not just, you know, the working closely with the North American and Mongolian companies, also supported the Mongolian Honorary Consulate office there. So worked very closely with the Mongolians in Denver as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Because 7 years, it's really, I would say, long time to actually live in the States, to live abroad. So tell us like one defining moment that made you choose business finance, and why did you specifically decided to, you know, choose finance instead of other industries?
Yeah. Oh, so overall, I lived in the States for about a little over 10 years, including my master's study and work experience. So, but yeah, so as a kid, I really loved math. I really like numbers. So, and also solving problems in math as well. And my mom, my family's has a great many doctors, and my parents wanted me to become a doctor. And I thought I was going to become a surgeon. Then I figured out I'm scared of blood. So I decided to follow my, how do I say, heart and become a professional in finance industry. So.
Right. Well, yeah, because, you know, to be honest, I'm actually your total opposite because teenager, yeah, I hated numbers. So I decided to go to study the humanitarian sciences because I was good at talking to people. I was good at presenting, you know, and just talking, but I hated numbers. So I resonate with you on this one.
Yeah, so the University of Finance and Economic is a top in Mongolia in terms of, you know, the financial degrees. So I chose to participate there and then got an MBA in finance in the States. So I up till, you know, until today, I love working with numbers. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay, that's a great background. Thanks for sharing. I also wanted to talk about perhaps the Mongolia's startup scene. Could you tell us more about what's exciting about Mongolia's current startup ecosystem?
It's very new and at the very early stage, I would say. We have only about 170 some active startups in our ecosystem, and we have only one VC, which is us, and a couple of CVCs, and have some really good accelerator programs, but and only a few angels as well. So overall, there are tons of opportunities because there's not enough capital. There are certain sectors that could be great potential for international investors and for international startups to also come to Mongolia and develop their technologies and services, especially when they're at the early stage. In fact, we have a few Southeast Asian, Japanese, Korean startups are, you know, moving to Mongolia to develop their technology because, for example, in Japan, they need a lot of licenses, you know, certifications in order to operate and develop their technology. In Mongolia, it's like heaven. And also for, you know, the startups from those countries, Mongolia is sort of like a gateway towards Central Asian market. And so in that case, you know, the Mongolia is very interestingly situated, not just by the location, also by the ecosystem environment wise. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it to sum up our ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what about the biggest challenges that usually founders face when they either enter the Mongolian market or when they just are starting their startups in Mongolia?
Mm-hmm. From the legal, I guess I would say the most challenging part is the availability, accessibility towards capital investments, especially for early stage founders. The second challenge could be, you know, the legal environment wise, it could be, you know, very easy to come to Mongolia and start a company and you know, test their certain technologies, but at the same time, there's not enough like support. For example, tax environment wise, you know, the all kinds of way. Unlike Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, I would say doing much better in terms of, you know, the supporting early stage startups and SMEs. And in Mongolia, so those could be the big challenges, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And plus, sorry, one more thing. Yeah, I forgot to mention the our market is tiny, only 3.5 million in population wise. So that's why, you know, I promote Mongolia as it could be a good sandbox environment for very, very early stage tech companies.
Right. I totally agree with you on this one. What about, so do you think that Mongolia can become the next Silicon Valley of Asia?
It could be. It's sandwiched right between two, you know, huge markets, Russia and China. And also, in fact, the one of the companies I'm closely advising, Art Financial Group, the chairman of the company like to promote Mongolia as sort of like a wolf economy. And it could be the next Singapore or Hong Kong, you know, the right between Russia and China. So.
Right. Yeah, awesome. So I have a question regarding Exponential Zaisan Partners. Mm-hmm. Could you please tell us more about what was the motivation behind opening a venture firm in Mongolia?
Yeah, so right after I moved back to Mongolia, I wanted to learn more about the at that time, current, you know, the business environment, and labor market, things like that. So I joined a company called Specialized Career Consulting, SCC for short, which is at that time it was a headhunting, a small recruiting firm. I joined as a business development director, later on became the CEO, then became the partner and shareholder. We end up expanding to, you know, the Japanese market, Singaporean, and then COVID happened. But anyway, I did some really good research about, you know, the understanding of the business environment and labor market, etc. And then the conclusion was, you know, Mongolia has a great opportunity, but at the same time, there's not enough, you know, the capital, especially towards, you know, early stage SMEs and startups and companies. So I, you know, along with my business partners, we brought Founder Institute, which is, you know, the globally well-known early stage accelerator program, and worked very closely with the founders and entrepreneurs. And then afterwards, we decided to start a VC firm. And we concluded that we could be the first VC, you know, and help supporting early stage startups. And we had that network through that Founder Institute and other accelerator programs and business partners. We have great network in the States, North America, and in Japan, and in other regions as well. So we decided to also utilize that. And one example could be, we were lucky enough to onboard Tim Draper as one of our LP. So that could be, you know, the great door opener for many of our portfolio companies and ecosystem players.
Wow, that's amazing. Having Tim Draper as your LP, I think it's a huge achievement. So congratulations on that. And I know how hard it is to be in an emerging market, especially when people are not aware a lot about VC market, about startups. And I know that, you know, when you were the first one, it's always the tough part. Because people are used to it, you know, and it gets a bit overwhelming for some people. Like, what are you guys doing? You know, everyone's always asking you, or don't even know, because we face that on a daily basis as well. When somebody asks me, yes, what are you doing? I said, I'm a VC. Well, okay, but what is it exactly, right? So even in Kazakhstan, in a market that more or less understand what the startup ecosystem is, what's the, you know, this is the emerging market, but still people are just getting confused and asking me these kind of questions on a daily basis. So I totally get it. And it must be a bit challenging to be the opener in such a market. But anyways, so in your opinion, tell us more about the key ingredients for a successful early stage deal in a small market.
And also, you know, just to add a little bit more to your previous question, it was quite challenging to start the first VC focusing in Mongolian ecosystem, especially for Mongolian LPs. To convince them could be, you know, was actually very tough. In capital market development wise, Mongolia is even earlier stage than Kazakhstan and other countries in the region. So Mongolians are just now learning to buy some stocks and buy invest into bonds. But in terms of the risk level wise, you know, VC could be the last option they could be interested in. But somehow we pull to develop this VC, and hopefully there will be more, you know, the investors will be interested into Mongolian ecosystem and investing into startups. Now, to answer your last question, key ingredients, I would say, was that key ingredients for the investor's perspective?
No, it was more from perspective of a founder.
Founder. Oh, yeah. Okay. For Mongolia, the one thing I noticed as soon as I came back from the state, The competition is not as fierce as the well-developed markets. If you do something in with a very good quality of, you know, the product or the services, you could easily win the competition in Mongolia, no matter in which sector you are. So just to, you know, take an example, if you open a small cafe in Ulaanbaatar, if you could serve only a few items with a very good quality of taste or, you know, product, and at the same time with the very good service and attitude, then your, you know, the cafe will be crowded. And there are tons of, you know, the restaurants, cafes with this amazing interior. If you look like you could notice that the investor or the founder, you know, poured a ton of cash or capital into it. But when you have like, you know, hundreds of items on the menu, Mongolia is logistically landlocked. And sometimes, you know, the China closes border. Sometimes Russia's in sanction, and you don't have enough supplies for your, you know, the key ingredients for your food. So you end up serving only a few items, only a few options. But at the same time, you have this hundreds of items on your menu. So that's the one example I could take. Take actually every day, and whenever I have an opportunity to mentor founders and entrepreneurs, I just, you know, encourage them to do or specialize on something and you know, to serve it with the great quality, and then, you know, the success is a guarantee.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for that, because, you know, there are a lot of startup founders and normal people who don't really know about VC are going to listen to our podcast, and I just want mm-hmm. everybody to, you know, get some kind of inspiration from your advice, from your background, from the insights that you are sharing with us. So that's really, really valuable, because I also always tell people, guys, you just have to focus on what you love and just do it, you know, on a very high level. That's when you really yeah. enjoy what you do. That's when you really provide high quality service. That's when you really, you know, you don't really even think about making money. You more, you know, focus on just doing your best because you enjoy it, and that's when you actually, you know, you become the best in the market. So that's
yeah. Diaz, also one more point I'd like to highlight is, of course, the focusing. You know, the laser sharp focus is very, very important. But if it's not working out, timely pivoting, the ability to pivot is also very important. You know, change the product, if not 100%, maybe 50%, and then, you know, the try to develop it. And also that's very important.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree with you on this one. So what would you say, for example, if a... so let's say that I'm a startup founder. I came up to you and I said, okay, Isa, mm-hmm. could you please tell me, like, give me one advice so that I could successfully raise my first round, let's say, in a Mongolian market?
Mm. So additional to our VC fund, with EBRD support, we launched Mongolia's first angel investment club. And now I'm the chairman now, and now we have around 80 members, but only maybe 30 to 40 of them are active. And so we introduce deals like quarterly basis. If the startups are even earlier stage than our VC fund focus, then we introduce them to our angels. And, you know, the few things we noticed was, you know, the both fund and angel investment club, we invest into very early stage. So the first thing we look at is the founders, and, you know, if they're honest, if they know what they're talking about, if they have passion to, you know, what they're developing or you know, trying to sell, then that's the most important aspect we look at: the team or the technology, product, or, you know, the competitive advantage. Those are like the second, third, fourth, fifth item we look at. The first thing we look at is who are the main people, co-founders or CEO or CTO, and if they know what they're doing. So that's the most important part for us as an investor.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one, because I'm just, you know, you're just telling me a lot of things that that are really helpful, but I don't know why. I think exactly the same way in terms of, you know, the founders, because me and Jan, we always tell each other, we always tell to startup founders that whenever you invest in somebody, you always go to dates first. So you got a date first for half a year, for a year, and then you get married. So, you know, it's very important to actually invest in those relationships. It's very important to actually see who the real person behind the scenes is, right? So
yeah,
very, very important to actually, you know, build that relationship and really understand who are you working with. Because at the end of the day, it's all about relationships with people. It's not just about money. It's always about, you know, knowing who you are living with or who you are working with. So I totally
exactly
agree.
It's like a second marriage, and you know, the you gotta understand them well before you get married, and I yeah, that's I truly agree with you, yeah, on that.
Absolutely, yeah, because it's a marriage, and we always, even like whenever when we're presenting our you know, our services, or whenever we're talking on the conferences, we always say that like it's gonna be a second marriage, you guys. So let's just be as serious as possible. Let's go on a few dates. Let's date then. Let's get married, right?
Yeah.
No matter how that sounds, but it's true.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So could you please tell us more about how Mongolian founders can compete internationally? So I know that a lot of, you know, there are founders who are who have huge ambitions to expand either Central Asian market, or who are planning to expand to the US. And the majority of founders are always thinking of moving abroad or expanding their startups abroad. So could you please tell us more about how Mongolian startups can compete internationally?
Yeah, so from our ecosystem, there's only one startup just currently closed their Series B round, which is called UnGlobal, and they provide AI-based fintech solution. And now they are in 9 countries and backed by, you know, Marubeni, SBI Ventures, mostly Japanese CVCs and investors. And they're in fintech. So the next, also the startups who are emerging are, most of them are also in fintech as well. But at the same time, Mongolian market has great opportunity in not just in fintech, also mine tech, agri tech, and tourism tech, tour tech, and in those industries as well. So because those industries have capital, if not from the VC, you know, from the CVCs and from angels. And I every time when I have a chance to meet with the Mongolian founders, I always advise them first test on the market with the, you know, the less cost and less resource, and then have a POC at least to expand and or look at, even consider their next market. And sometimes I run into a founder, you know, they don't even have a POC, but then you know, they're talking about taking over the Central Asian market or US market, and it's much more difficult for them to do that. So and these sectors have some good capital, and these fintech companies who are emerging or at least becoming successful internationally because they're coming out of the finance industry in Mongolia. So
yeah, awesome. Because you see, when startup founders come to us saying, Diaz or Jan, what do, how we should expand, we always say, like, guys, you got to stop here. You got to firstly understand that you are being really successful here. And if you were really successful here, is there like a huge point of expanding to the US? Because, for example, there are a lot of, you know, people who became extremely successful here in Central Asia or in Kazakhstan, but whenever they open their branches in the US, obviously nobody nobody knows them there, right? It's going to get much tougher.
Yeah.
Definitely going to have to open another, like a new kind of a business. You're going to have to live there for a couple of years before launching any kind of, you know, project or product. So I highly advise people to, you know, get just think and realize whether you really need to expand there, because you're already here, and wouldn't you just, you know, keep growing here and just, you know, keep expanding new markets like next to Central Asia, the markets that are closer to yours. So that's what we always talk about as well, and advice to startup founders.
Yeah, that's a very good advice. You know, also, it's not just about, you know, understanding or doing their homework in terms of research in the market. Also, it will depend on if they have good network there, you know, whether it's VC or whether it's, you know, the potential strategic partner. They need somebody to help them. And so, those are the very important factors to even consider next market.
Absolutely, yeah. Because whenever we advise or whenever we invest in a startup, we always, you know, think from perspective of a partner, not just an investor. So thankfully enough, we have some, you know, good acquaintances in the U.S., like a lot of people who would really guide the founder that we invest in. So like almost all the time, we just support them all the way whenever they're traveling to the U.S. or just opening new branches abroad. So I truly believe that VCs, apart from just giving some advice or capital, you know, providing a lot of new introductions, new warm intros is highly beneficial, and it should be there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, in terms of the U.S. market, so you lived there for more than 10 years. Could you please tell us more about maybe one thing that you would definitely bring from the U.S. to Mongolia, and one thing that you wouldn't bring from U.S. to Mongolia? Because in any country, there are good things and there are bad things in terms of their culture. Not, I wouldn't say bad things, but a thing that we wouldn't necessarily like, right? So perhaps, in your personal opinion, what would be the one good thing that you would bring from the States, and one not so good thing that you wouldn't bring?
Ah, very good question. I would say that the business culture, the way of doing business, could be something that would add like a competitive advantage to you if you're trying to do business in Mongolia, especially from the States. I was lucky enough to work with the North America Mongolian Business Council for a couple of years, and that really, you know, helped me develop my network. At that time, there were some really strong memberships from the States to this NGO. Like Baker McKenzie, Boeing, Rio Tinto, mostly mining companies, but there were some tourism companies like Nomadic Expeditions, et cetera. And the one thing I also learned was, you know, the Mongolians are very adaptable people. You know, by culture, we're nomadics, so we have to adapt in every environment we try to live in, and for doing business, yeah, that was the one thing I would definitely bring to on the table from the States. But sometimes the American way of doing business couldn't work, especially when you're trying to do business with Chinese company or maybe Japanese as well. So that could be also disadvantage at some times. I guess you have to be very careful if you're, you know, trying to develop some international business partners, investors, how you, you know, the present yourself or present your company. So I guess that could be the American way of doing business could be advantage at some times, and it could be also disadvantage at some times.
Yes, absolutely. Because I truly believe that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, any culture, any country has its own advantages in terms of the culture and some of the things that we wouldn't really enjoy, you know. because I myself lived in the UK for 2 years, and then I moved to Spain for 3 years. More or less, what is it like, you know, having some good things, because I enjoyed living abroad, but there were some things that I didn't really enjoy in terms of the culture and the work and the studies. So I always wanted to think like, okay, I'm going to get back to Kazakhstan. I'm going to bring these new things to our corporate culture and, you know, integrate some of the good habits that I learned there so that it could just create some kind of an impact to our culture. So, yeah. So, because you see, you lived there for 10 years and I only like lived for 5 years abroad. But in terms of the US, when you came back from the States to Mongolia after 10 years, what surprised you the most?
Culture shock, I would say. Even though I lived in Mongolia for 20 some years prior to moving to the States, and then after living there for 10 years, when I came back, I had some culture shocks, like Mongolians were are up to date, you know, still very bad at being on time, self-organization. I would say most of the especially public employees, like government officials, they have only two schedule: before noon, afternoon. Those kind of things were, you know, very surprising, very hard to schedule a meeting with, you know, somebody who's working for the city or, you know, at the ministry level or even with the parliament members. They would tell you like, okay, let's meet on Monday afternoon. That's like, you know, 4 or 5 hours window. And then I have to figure out, you know, and I guess those could be, those were quite shocking when I came back. And I tried to make some changes, at least with the people I work for. I mean, work with and you know, the lead, I would always advise them, you know, the try to set up the meeting prior. And if you're coming late, notify your the guest or the person you're meeting with prior coming late, you know, like that you're coming late. Those could be easily help you stand out from the competition if you're trying to develop business here in Mongolia. The self-organization is, was the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing such an, you know, very, I would say, amazing and eye-opening thing about Mongolia's culture, because I just want our listeners to, you know, learn as much as possible in terms of not only about the VC, about how to do business, but also about different cultures. So that's why we always, you know, invite people from different backgrounds, from different countries, so that they share their insights, their opinion about, you know, certain things. So I know that a lot of young people, a lot of entrepreneurs are going to listen to our podcast. And I always, you know, myself, I'm always curious about how successful people are structuring their day. I just wanted to learn, please tell us like one small daily habit that actually makes you, you know, productive every day, that makes you, let's say, make more money, you know, get more deals or things like that.
I start my day with going to the gym. So I have maybe 40 minutes to 60 minute workout. And that really helps me to, first of all, you know, become awake and become more active. And also it could be a good of meditating and then, you know, the prioritizing daily activities. That's the one habit I developed even when I was a kid. When I was in eighth grade, I started working out. So every day, at least during the weekdays, I hit the gym first thing in the morning. And that's the habit really, I guess, helping me to stay focused and stay active.
That's amazing. Because I myself, with our partners, we train every single day, every single morning. So I understand how important it is to actually work out, because there are a lot of stressful moments in our lives, a lot of stressful, you know, situations and people you have to deal with. And sometimes just without working out, without actually, you know, giving yourself that space, giving yourself that time, the first thing in the morning, without it, I just can't imagine my life, you know, nowadays. So I really believe that a morning routine of some kind of, I don't know, meditation, whether it be yoga, whether it be prayers or gym or just walking in the morning, I believe that these just, you know, uplift your, not only your mood, but also your state of mind for the following day. So thank you very much for sharing. And I totally agree with you on this one.
Yeah, you know, I noticed John is a very fit guy. And I haven't had a chance to meet with you in person, but behind the camera, you seem also very fit too.
Thank you so much, Aiza. Thank you for the compliments. So I just wanted to finish it off with a couple of questions. Maybe your best advice you would give to new entrepreneurs that are trying to build business, like in general, whether it could be a startup founder, whether it's you know, normal business founder, or, you know, just a normal guy who's trying to do some business.
Starting a business could be very exciting journey, but at the same time, it could be very challenging. You know, I know some people, they're very good at working for corporates or, you know, the doing 8-to-5 job. And also they're very good at what they're, you know, they're doing in the office and becoming very successful too. But for entrepreneurs, I guess we need more ability to handle the stress, ability to, you know, the make decisions, you know, very quickly and on time. So it could be very stressful. It could be sometimes also very lonely journey too. So being prepared for that and setting your expectation right could be very helpful when you start a new business. It's not like you start a business and then it's guaranteed that your business will be successful. So there were some really challenging times you have to face. And if you're very bad at handling your stress or, you know, tackling challenges, then it's, you know, don't even think about starting a business, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. So yeah, that's something I could, setting up the expectation right and being prepared could save a lot of resource, a lot of stress too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because even the small things that we mentioned a bit earlier in terms of hitting the gym in the morning or just, you know, having some kind of routine is definitely going to, you know, reduce the level of anxiety, the level of worries, you know, because I myself built a couple of startups before, obviously failed a lot of times. And it was like hell, you know, oh my God, that was so tough. You know, mentally, I was like just sitting there. Oh my God, what am I doing wrong? I did everything correctly. I hustled, right? I totally agree with you on this one, because it's very important to set the high, you know, the right expectations in terms of knowing exactly what you were getting into and what you're about to do. Because not everyone actually, you know, understands the importance of setting the right expectations. A lot of people are just thinking, okay, I'm going to start a business. I know exactly what people want. I didn't do any cuss devs, but I know. I just trust my gut. And but most of the time, they just say, okay, I know this is going to work out. I'm going to do it. Even though it's good, the attitude at the beginning is correct, but like really understanding how painful and how tough it's going to get, it's absolutely crucial, in my personal opinion. So
And setting up the goal also, I mean, the expectation also, choosing the right partner could be the most important decision you would make in your career or in your lifetime in any business. Of course, it's much easier to have a business partner who could share the stress level, who could, you know, the tackle the challenges together and solving the problems together. But at the same time, if you're with the right, wrong partner, that could be a nightmare too. So that's one thing I'm also learning nowadays, that I would really want our new entrepreneurs, new founders to understand choosing the right partner could be also very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, it's a marriage, right? It doesn't matter whether you're marrying a woman you love, or you know, or your partner. It's just marriage. You just have to commit to it. So totally agree as well. Perhaps for today, the last question would be your favorite book, because we always, with Jen on our podcast, we always ask our guests what kind of book would they recommend reading. There are a lot of people who recommend different kinds of books, but I just want to learn about one book that actually made an impact on you.
It's funny you asked this, because yesterday I was having a conversation with my friend, and then also we were talking about book too. I mentioned this book called Abundance, and it's by Peter Diamandis, who's with XPRIZE, very influential organization. So that book is about in our daily life, or in our societies, for human race, we have all these challenges, like major challenges, like whether it's in food, whether it's in water, whether it's in energy, but there are always solutions through technology. And this book is about being, the positive, instead of, the panicking, hey, we have this great disaster coming, but there are always solutions. And so I would like to recommend that book, whoever's starting a business, to help you get motivated, help you become more positive minded, to not to give up, and to find the solutions for your problem. And so that's the one book I would really like to recommend.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much, because today I'm going to, order that book on Amazon. So definitely going to just immerse myself into this book and just, get some useful insights for myself, because I'm always...
Let me know after reading. Let me know.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Aiza. Anyways, thank you so much once again for joining our podcast today. It was a really pleasure to learn from a VC, from successful entrepreneurs like yourself. And I'm sure that our listeners were able to get something useful for themselves.
If we have a couple minutes, maybe I did the poor job introducing myself. I'm not just a VC, and I have also other activities in our ecosystem to support. Can I mention those?
Of course, absolutely. Please.
So as I mentioned earlier, we brought Founder Institute. It's a very early stage accelerator program. We had four cohorts so far, 20-some startups graduated. It's a quite challenging accelerator program, and successful too. So we brought that, and that's our very first project. And right after that, with EBRD support, as I also mentioned, there's Angel Investment Club. So we help entrepreneurs to set up their company through Founder Institute, and then help them secure their very early stage funding through our Angel Investment Club. And then there's another accelerator program for a little bit later stage startups called Monja. And that's supported by and sponsored by JICA, Japanese International Cooperation Agency. And so that accelerator program helps our startups to expand to their network and help them develop even further their business. And so after the Monja accelerator, we brought Startup World Cup. Perhaps you've heard about it.
Of course, absolutely.
Top competition pitch event for startups. And now we organize, going back to 2021, we brought our first, regional championship in Mongolia. And As a matter of fact, Tim was one of our guest speaker too. It was during the right after the COVID, and then we had it online. So Tim joined. Anyway, so we have now, starting from last year, additional to Mongolian Regional Championship, we started organizing Central Asia Championship. So the Startup World Cup helps our startups to develop their network, expand their network, help them network, expose themselves to much bigger events. So last year, probably you've heard about this company. It's out of Kazakhstan, Cerebra AI.
Yes.
Yeah, they won the Central Asia Championship. And Mongolian company called Ondo Space, it's a space tech company, won the Mongolian regionals. So we traveled to San Francisco with both companies' founders and participated grand finale event in San Francisco. So right next to the Startup World Cup Championship, we, starting from last year, organizing Central Asia Tech Summit in Ulaanbaatar. So maybe next year, we might be hosting it in Astana or Almaty or Bishkek or any other Central Asian cities. So the main purpose is for Mongolian startups to network with Central Asian stakeholders, Central Asian startups to come to Mongolia and also network with Mongolian stakeholders. So it's a cross-networking type of event. And our fund invests into them. So we have these six different projects to support the ecosystem. And we'd be happy to partner with any stakeholders from this region. That's something about us and our activities in the ecosystem.
Wow, Isa, what a story. First of all, congratulations on hosting such a huge event, because I've heard about this event a lot of times, and they were even out to us, like offering, like, DS Jan, would you be able to help us out to host that event in Central Asia or in Astana, in Almaty? We're just saying, because we were extremely busy, and we were thinking, of course we'll do it, but like, let's just postpone it for a bit later, but we'll definitely do it in the future. So I truly believe that doing it together, sometime soon, would be absolutely fantastic for everyone. So
yeah, Pegasus Tech Ventures is a huge VC and a great network. And those guys are who are at Pegasus, amazing people. So highly recommended for you guys to partner with them.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Isa. And we'll definitely keep that in mind. And I'm sure that in the near future, we could organize something huge together. That will definitely improve the startup ecosystem, not only in Central Asia, but also in whole Mongolia.
Yeah, when I met with Jean in Almaty, I offered that, we can open up our network and portfolio, introduce them to you guys. Also, you guys could do the same with us. And also, I did the same with Alim at Most Ventures. So hopefully there's going to be some fruitful collaboration between the VCs in the region.
Yes, absolutely. Well, anyways, Isa, thank you so much for all the insights that you shared today, for all the information, because I'm going to just sit now and just write down all the key things that I've learned from this podcast myself, because I'm a lifelong learner myself and always learning from people I talk to. So that was extremely valuable for myself and also for our listeners as well. Thank you so much for joining today's podcast, and I wish you a productive day ahead.
Thank you. Same to you, Diaz. And also thank you for our listeners as well. Thank you.